Praise God. I have a word for you today. Hallelujah. Some of us know about certain things of God's word, and some of us it might be a reminder or refreshing. But as I got up this morning and I began to fight in the spirit, you know, Lord, as this went on for about an hour, finally, okay, I heard the Lord tell me, he says, use the blood. I said, okay. And he began to bring me into a place about using God's blood. And so many times we use God's blood, but we don't really understand what we're doing. And if you don't understand, there's no effect. Hello? Now, I want to share a couple of things this morning that I really believe that we need to use this and get because of these last days that we're in. And how many of y'all know we're in our last days? Amen. And the enemy isn't playing games anymore. And neither can we. Because he's out to kill us. Amen. And would you turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 12? The book of Revelation in chapter 12. So as I began to utilize the blood of the Lamb, things began to get severed. And it wasn't that I don't use the blood, because I use it every first thing, every morning, but it was warfare, and he said, I want you to use the blood more. He put it on my heart. Use the blood more. And I said, okay. So I did. And he said, my people don't use the blood, or they use it incorrectly. And there's a difference of using the blood by pleading and applying. There's two different segments of God's blood. By pleading, the teaching today is pleading and applying the blood. And there is a difference. When you plead the blood and when you apply it. Is everybody with me? In the book of Revelation in chapter 12 and in verse 7. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? And it says, and war broke out in heaven. How many of y'all know we're in a war? You think it's over? No. And war broke out in heaven. Oh. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. That's the powers of darkness, isn't it? Now you got to remember something, that Lucifer was one of the major angels, archangels. He was God's right-hand man. It was Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. And each one of them was in charge of a third of all the angels that God had created. When Lucifer was removed from his office and position, his name changed to Satan, or dragon, devil, whatever you want to call him. He was removed. We know that Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of heaven and the universe. That's why music affects people so much. That's how the devil brings people in. And so many believers have fallen short, and I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go there. Many believers have fallen out of position because they have compromised and became complacent in the arena of music. They begin to listen to secular music and try to translate it into godly music. And by listening to secular music, they open the door to the devil. Is everybody with me? That's one of God's warnings to us, because you and I must have discernment. You know, so many times the devil's going to tell you, well, you know the truth now. Now you can listen to a little secular music. Well, many people go back from a little. Listen, you give the devil a little, he'll take more. Secular music means secular. It's called, and then there's temporary music. Amen? Which means temporary. They call it contemporary. It's temporary. Because it brings you into a temporary realm. There's a time when music should be with a message. And then there's time when you worship God. Amen. It's in God's presence that you change. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen. So the word of God that goes forth from the throne room of God brings a change in us in the arena of conviction, of truth. The Word of God should always want to bring you to God's presence. Is everybody with me? The Word of God always wants you to bring you to God's presence. Because in His presence is deliverance and healing. Amen? Hallelujah. So Lucifer was one of the archangels. He was the praise and worship leader of heaven. And he got removed. He became a rock star. Hallelujah. To the world. And it says, and war broke out in heaven. Angels fought in verse 8, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. And this was in God's throne, in His presence, in that position. So you got to understand that Lucifer, the dragon, the serpent, the devil, was removed from God's presence and cast to the earth, and all of His angels with Him. So guess where we live? Hallelujah. Does anybody know where you live? Is everybody okay? In verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and His angels were cast out with Him. So that means there's war broke out in heaven. They were cast to the earth. And the earth means in a natural arena, not only of in the earth, but in the atmosphere. See, there are principalities in the atmosphere that are actually Satan's angels. They are not fallen angels. We might call them fallen angels. The fallen angels are the one that put in flesh and came in and had sex with men or women. Mankind. And had offsprings. But that's a whole other teaching. In verse 10, read it with me. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been what? Cast down. And they what? And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Now I want you to see something here very powerful in verse 11. He says they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they didn't love their lives to death. In other words, they were denying themselves. See, the blood is just not activated by wickedness. It's activated by righteousness. So if you're still doing the same old things and you're pleading the blood or applying the blood, it ain't working. Hello? Because it only works through righteousness. Now, overcome by the what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So we know that there's a war going on. In fact, there are three major weapons of God that He has given us. And one of them is His blood, His word, and His name. Those are three major weapons that God has given us. The blood of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. And the Word became flesh, didn't He? Amen? So we utilize these three major weapons, and then there are keys that God gave us, and that's to bind and loose, which are weapons. Then there's the keys of knowledge and so forth. These are arenas where you and I are to utilize to fight. Fight. He gave us the full armor of God to protect. He gave us the Word of God to attack and defend. He gave us praise and worship to attack and defend. I mean, these are all weapons of God that He's given me and you that we may take authority in the spirit realm while we're still in the natural realm. And one of the things that we need to utilize is the blood of the Lamb. Now, I want to go to Revelation chapter 1 while we're here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Thank you, my Lord. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? And from Jesus Christ, the what? Faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, this is very important because we see that there's a place where through the blood we've been positioned. And through the blood we've been positioned in a place where we are priests and kings. We are priests and kings. In fact, we got a wonderful teaching called Priests Before Warriors. Because you first must fulfill your priesthood before you can fulfill your kingship. And a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. Amen. One who ministers to the Lord. Now, as it says that through his blood, we have been positioned to be priests and kings. Holy Spirit was sharing to me that a priest pleads the blood and a king applies it. Is everybody with me? Say it with me. A priest pleads the blood and a king applies it. Because the blood is used for warfare also. It's used for protection. But pleading the blood is used for atonement by pleading the blood. And we'll go more into this. Now, go to Acts 20. A priest what? Pleads the blood, and the king what? Applies the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 20. So are you kings and priests? Yes. In Acts chapter 20. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 28. Would you read it with me? Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you what? Overseers. To shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So see, there is a position where God has given us, isn't it? Priests and kings. This position was purchased for me and you by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of Jesus. So a priest does what? Applies. And a king does what? A priest does what? Pleads. And a king does what? Applies. Amen. Praise God. Now, go to Revelation chapter 5. We have a simple, quick teaching today. God willing. I was going to bind myself to that one. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 5. And in verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have what? Redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And has made us what? Kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth." Now, see, through this blood, you and I have been what? Redeemed. Redeemed means be restored. You've been restored to the original state where Christ has called us to be. We have been restored in these positions. We've been restored with dominion and power. We've been restored in a relationship with Him. We have been redeemed. That which was lost has now been found. That has been redeemed. So you and I have been redeemed so that we can begin to utilize the blood. The pleading and the applying of the blood of Christ. We have been redeemed. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. You know, the devils hate the blood of the Lamb. They hate the blood. They hate the blood. That's why when you begin to call out on the blood and sing the blood, man, they begin to run. They hate the blood. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and there'll be a demon in your room? In fact, if you get a visitation from an angel, you better apply the blood. The blood of Jesus. You speak the blood, poof, he's gone. Unless he's God's messenger, he'll honor the blood. In fact, both of you may fall on your face and start worshiping the Lord. The blood, poof, glory. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, would you read it with me? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is a part of your redemption. You have been redeemed to be placed. What are you placed with? You're given every spiritual blessing and you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You have been redeemed. Why? Because Jesus sits next to the Father as high priest and you are his priest now. They call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, you're one of the kings. He's the King of the Kings. Amen? So many people don't know their authority. They don't know how to use the blood. They don't know who they are. They get pushed around and beat up. They lose sight. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4, just as he what? Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Did you know that you were called before the world was created? Before, not only before the world was created, but before the universe was created, God saw you. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is a part of your redemption. You've been redeemed. Now you've been a son. To the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of sins, that sins of past, present, and future, as long as there's confession. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Now through the blood we know the mystery of his will, the purpose of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. This is a part of your redemption through the blood. You received an inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now that is the counsel that is in the throne room of God. We call them the 24 elders. Oh, hallelujah. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a part of your redemption. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. All of these things are part of your redemption. When you have been, when we are, you know, we are the redeemed. We're the only ones that can really sing that song that we have been redeemed. Even the angels can't sing that because they haven't been redeemed. We're redeemed. You know? We're redeemed. We've been repositioned. We've been granted back to that which was lost in the garden. Everything goes back to the garden now. You got to understand that. Because God created man, Adam, in his image and likeness. Now, Adam's son was created in Adam's likeness. Does everybody got it? But it's still the representation of God in character because God created Adam in his likeness and in his image. But Adam's children were created in Adam's image. Is everybody with me? See, now you and I have been restored so we are born again. In other words, created in God's image and likeness, not in Adam's. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting this? Good. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, the blood. Thank you for the blood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Everybody there? Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. That's us. Hallelujah. You also, as living stones, he says, you're a living stone. Praise God. Not a rolling stone. A living stone. Hallelujah. Are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a stone of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, this is very powerful because, remember, we are called to be priests, aren't we? Priests offers up spiritual sacrifices. First of all, we are the new covenant as a representation of the ministry of the Spirit. By confession, in other words, you confess your sins, right? Your confession, your repentance activates the blood. What you're actually doing is pleading the blood. Why? Because you're pleading what he did. You're not applying the blood, you're pleading what was done on the cross. Is everybody with me? Everything, all mistakes and everything, all sins and everything of your past, you are pleading the blood. I plead the blood, Lord. In other words, you're reminding him of the price of his son. Oh, hallelujah. As sacrifices that are at an altar, you and I now are to do the same spiritual sacrifices by praise. By praise. That's a spiritual sacrifice, isn't it? Why? Because now you and I are the altar of God. We are the temple of God. So by being the priest, you and I also can intercede for someone by pleading the blood on somebody else's behalf. Why? Because we are making up of a sacrificial, spiritual sacrifice. See, that's why you can break ancestral curses, because what are you doing? You're repenting for your forefathers. What are you doing? You're pleading the blood of Christ and severing all of these inherited curses that have been brought on the family line. Because it wasn't anything that you did, but you now stand in position as a priest that offers up spiritual sacrifices that come out of your mouth, because the ministry now is of the Spirit. As you plead the blood, those curses are broke from your ancestors coming down to you and to your children. Has everybody got it? See, you've got to understand these things. You've got to get understanding of these things, or they're not activated. It's like throwing words into the air. And the devil will challenge you on these things. You are a priest and priestess. You have the ability and the authority through the blood of Christ that has restored you in position to be priests and kings, to plead and apply the blood of Christ. And utilize it correctly. If it's not utilized correctly, it's not working. Hallelujah. So that's why we confess our sins, don't we? We confess our sins. See, even water baptism is a representation of pleading the blood. there's always, God always brings something forth ahead, but Jesus is the only one that can fulfill it. Nothing is fulfilled in the scriptures except for through Christ. He fulfills everything. Even the seven feasts of the Lord, he fulfills it. He's already fulfilled the first four feasts, hasn't he? The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets and say goodbye to this world. But Jesus is the one that fulfills everything. So he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father fulfilling priesthood that you and I can be priests and kings. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 6. John chapter 6. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, Master. Now you think about it. When Jesus was beat, what was coming out of his body? Blood. Amen. Blood. Wow, well, you can plead the blood, can't you? In fact, in the garden, it says that because the fight within and the fight and it was so great to because he was fighting to fulfill what he said. He asked his father if this cup was, if it could pass him by. But he said, of course, not my will, your will. But it says that he sweat blood from his forehead. He began to sweat blood. He was fighting. Why? Because the blood was working. There was the blood from the Father that was working. It was working right there. He knew where the fight was at. It was in the mind. He was fighting. That blood is what you can plead for the torment of the mind. Oh, that blood was made so that you and I could have the mind of Christ. Better than medication. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's how people, when they get diagnosed with DD, whatever, and bipolar, no polar, and every kind of other polar. Polar bear mentality. Plead the blood. Schizophrenia. Hallelujah. Schizophrenia. All right, where do we go? John 6, in verse 53, I believe. You must believe in the blood. Do you understand? You must believe in the blood. Now, things are given to you that are a measure of the faith you have. Hallelujah. It's amazing how when we were babies in Christ, it seemed that we believed more. Childlike faith. Think about it when you were first born again and the little simplicity of things that, man, you just believed everything. And it happened because you believed it. Then you began to read the Word and try and figure everything out. We begin to lose that simplicity of Christ. We began to use the Word and we were relying more on the Word than and then walking in faith. Does everybody understand that? We became religious. We became religious. Quoting things and nothing happening. Because it was done without faith. Religion doesn't have faith. It has works. But no faith. Oh, hallelujah. And John 6 and verse 50-something. Let's see here. Boy, I almost didn't say that 50-something, did I? In verse 53, I got caught up like David. He went, pff. I asked him how old he was. He went, pff. Hallelujah. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of what? Because of me. So we're to be fed on him. We're to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Well, here he talks about his flesh being the Word of God and the blood being the Spirit. So we're to be drinking. That's why when you and I are worshiping the Lord, we are actually drinking the Spirit. He says, he who drinks my blood and eats my flesh shall live forever. So you and I are getting the Word, we're eating, and while we're praising and worshiping the Lord, we're drinking. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Eat and drink. It's known, his Word is all, I mean, the blood is also a representation of covenant, of everything's being made new. Go to Exodus in chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Exodus 12 somewhere. Let's see here. Now, the Lord told Moses, because the Lord was getting ready to put the last plague on his last event on the Egyptians, to remove his children from bondage. Now, you got to remember something. You think about this. We heard about all the other plagues that had happened in Egypt, but the final last one was he was going to kill the firstborn of animals and man and everything. And he said, because see, they never gave him the first offering, so he was going to take it. He never gave them their first fruits because he was going to take it. That's why there was a problem with Cain and Abel. See, Cain and Abel, one gave the firstborn of the sheep. The other one gave the offering of what was come out of the ground. But it wasn't the first fruit. It was just an offering. One was accepted and one wasn't. Everybody got it? So the Lord was taking his first fruit, the firstborn of everyone. He was taking his own offering. And he told the children, he said, listen, because I'm going to take life for life, I want you to kill at twilight the lamb. And I want you to take this blood of the lamb and put it on a hyssop. And then I want you to put it on the lintels of your door. And as I pass by, I'll acknowledge it. Why? Because the blood protects. Did they apply the blood or plead it? They applied it. They applied it. Oh, hallelujah. And we read in the scripture here that in verse, I guess we can start somewhere here. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 13. It says, now let's not start there. Let's go a little bit back. In verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then a whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. That's why Jesus was, when he died on the cross, it became twilight. Everybody freaked that was around the cross because they acknowledged that he was the lamb that was killed, because they've been practicing this ritual for generations. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with the water, but roast it in fire, its heads with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now that's powerful. That's called applying the blood, isn't it? I mean, there's been many testimonies. Every morning I get up and I apply the blood of Jesus upon myself, all of my children, my wife, our possessions, and all the men and women and so forth, and the campus and our flock and everything else. I apply the blood of Jesus. Now, what you do determines whether the blood will stay manifested or activated or not. Because if you touch on something unclean, the blood is disactivated. That's why it's so important to repent quickly so you reactivate the blood. In fact, Job, when Satan came up to the throne room of God and all the angels checked in to get their orders for the day, Satan came up and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I mean, talk about getting set up. Job got set up. And Satan said, "What do you mean I can't touch him? You've got a hedge of protection around him." Well, Job's protection was he offered sacrifices of blood all the time. So he was pleading the blood. But that pleading the blood at that period of time was protecting, wasn't it? It was protecting. So the first thing that Satan had to do was remove all of Job's cattle, all of his animals, so that Job could no longer make sacrificial offerings from the altar for the protection. Is everybody with me? And that's how it started. And Satan had access to him. So how much more is the blood of Christ more activated than just animals? Much more. See, the devil knows. He knows when the blood is applied. He knows when the blood is pleaded. He has to stand back. Every time the blood, stand back. Listen, when Jesus was beaten and bruised, blood came from the stripes that was on his back was so that you and I could be healed. When you are sick, you plead the blood. Lord, I plead the blood of this sickness. Why? Because all sickness comes from the devil. Amen? They're either inherited curses, temporary curses, or self-imposed. All sickness is of the devil. God doesn't want sickness on us, does he? Amen? So understand this, that whatever is going on in your life, you have, as a priest and priestess, as a king, in the body of Christ, you have the ability to utilize the blood that was brought for you, bought for you. You can either plead it or apply it. Ooh, hallelujah. So, everybody with me? Go to Leviticus 17. So you see that they applied the blood on the lintels of the house. Man, I apply the blood on my car every time I take off. Anybody who rides with me sees I lay my hand on the dashboard. I go, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And believe me, I've seen it work. I've been rescued many times from getting killed because of the blood. In fact, there were wonderful testimonies about people getting caught in hurricanes and so forth, and they had the blood of Jesus on their house, and all the other houses fell but theirs. The blood. Leviticus 17. Oh, the blood of Jesus. In verse 10. Is everybody there? And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against the person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. That's eating raw blood. Now, we see that a lot of the demonic activity of individuals in their lives who worship darkness, they cut chickens' heads off and drink the blood, don't they? But see, that's blood of creation. That's an abomination. That's why when you and I eat our foods and so forth, we cook it. Hallelujah. No sushi steak. Well, first of all, you got to understand that diseases are carried in the blood, isn't it? So people don't cook their meat or whatever, you know, or whatever it is. The blood can bring sickness and disease to them. And verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Everyone say, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to what? Make atonement for your souls. Now your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So that's called pleading the blood. I plead the blood. Jesus paid the price for you and I, that because we are now in the new covenant, the ministry of the Spirit. The word Spirit means breath. So now you are able to confess and plead the blood as an intercessor, as a priest for yourself and for others. You plead the blood. Now, I want to share with you about, it says in the life, the blood is, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now you got to remember something, and everybody's heard this before. Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God. They were eternal beings. I do not believe they had blood, because it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, they had glorified bodies. Can you imagine Adam and Eve tripping and cutting themselves to death? They bled to death. They couldn't. There was no death. Amen? They could not lie. They didn't even know what it was. The only thing they knew was they weren't supposed to eat from that tree. That's all they knew. Other than that, they were eternal beings. They were glorified bodies. Just when you saw Jesus, when he walked in and touched, they saw flesh and blood. I mean, they saw flesh and bone, but no blood. Everybody got it? So when Adam and Eve blew it, the prince of the power of air took over. Their whole state of being changed. See, their spirit, soul, and body were one. Now it became divided, because a house divided cannot stand. They fell. Is everybody with me? So here now look at, if you recall before, remember they put the fig leaves on themselves? Because they were trying to cover their sin. And the Lord said, hold on a second. You can't go out like that. I got a new design for you. God made the first leather jacket. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis somewhere. Everybody thought it was bikers. It was Jesus. And Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Now look at this. Now you got to remember, they already made fig leaves for themselves. And the Lord said, hold on a second. In verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made what? Tunics of skin and clothed them. Before they left the garden, God killed an animal. He taught Adam how to do the first sacrifice. He said, this is what I want from you from now on. Blood, a life for life. Like, why? Because the blood brought atonement, didn't it? Now you got to remember something. They lost their office of position and all things. They lost their dominion, didn't he? Adam and Eve. But God still said, I'm going to bless them anyways. Because he said, go out and be fruitful and multiply. So he said the blessings were still on them. But they lost their office and position. See, but now Jesus fulfilled all of that, didn't he? He fulfilled that place where you and I can now take it all. See, you can have your cake and eat it too now. You can have it all. Why? Because you've been restored in position through the blood. You've been redeemed through the blood to be seated in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. Everything has been made for you. Remember, you and I are the inheritance of Jesus. Amen? So here we see that God showed Adam how to proceed in keeping the official sacrifice. Now look at, go to, let's see here, verse 4, chapter 4. And it says, now, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, and this time she bore Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He said an offering, didn't he? Didn't say the first. Abel also brought of the what? Firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? He should have said, who told you that? Who told you that, Cain? He did that already with Adam, you know. And why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it, he said. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Like he didn't know. I like how God tests people. He always does it with a question. And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Ooh, he should have ducked right then. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. See, the blood cried. Why? The life of the blood is in the flesh. God knows the blood. That's where curses are brought forth. You know, every disease and sickness is brought forth in through the blood, no matter what it is. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting this? 1 John chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Pleading or applying? 1 John chapter 1. In verse 5. Would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This is the what? The message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Ooh. And do not practice the truth. How many people you know that call themselves believers, but they ain't walking right? They lie. It's pretty sad sometimes, isn't it? Okay. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we what? Confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession, when you confess your sin, you're actually pleading the blood. Because the word atonement means to cover. But we have even greater atonement. We have removal. There's no longer a covering. Adam needed to get covered. There's no more covering for me and you. There's removal. Has everybody got it? There's removal. You are not counted. You are not. When you repent of your sins, they are removed. They're not just put somewhere. The price has already been paid. Oh, hallelujah. So that means that you and I must walk right with God. And we plead the blood when we blow it, when we make a mistake. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says what? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we live our lives unto death. You know, many times I'll be casting out of the devil, and he gives me a hard time, and I just say, the blood of the Lamb come against you. He's gone. The blood of the Lamb come against you. They do not like the blood. Drink this, devil. Romans chapter 1 and chapter 8 and verse 1. Would you read this with me, please? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's no condemnation. There's no guilt, and there's no judgment to those who are walking in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Okay. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus paid the price for me and you, didn't he? He paid the price. So, it says that there's no guilt. Let me tell you something. When the devil begins to bring things to your from your past, of all your guilts, of all the things that you've done and whatever, you plead the blood. I plead the blood. You know, when the devil starts bringing stuff, man, that's under the blood. That's under the blood. So he starts reminding you of all of your people you hurt or hurt you. You know, he's trying to entice again unforgiveness. He's trying to entice again guilt. He's trying to bring your past flesh into the present. You know, people try to alleviate that by medication. Think about it. It covers, but it doesn't remove. It never removes. It just covers. And guilt and bitterness and condemnation and unforgiveness is trying to always be activated by the devil, but I'm telling you, you just start pleading the blood. I plead the blood on this. I plead the blood on this arena in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 9. See, the devil will try to bring you in front of the court of God. And you're guilty. And as they try, the demons try to take you out and bring you to hell. You just start pleading the blood. I plead the blood! But you better make sure it's on this side, not on the other. Because it's too late then. You can't plead nothing. But that's what the devil tries to do. He's always accusing you, isn't he? And when the demons think that they've got a place to remove you, even though you've been guilty, you plead the blood because he paid the price as long as you've confessed your sin. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, is everybody there? Let's start at 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your what? Conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That removes that guilt, doesn't it? That removes that condemnation. You know, people go, man, you got a bad conscience? Yeah, we've all had bad consciences. Bad consciences come from the enemy. Unless there is repentance, which cleanses the conscience. Has everybody got it? That's why we plead the blood. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, praise you, Lord. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, his Son, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your what? Mind. Oh, the battlefield of the mind. By wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If you indeed continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we see our conscience and our goofy mind can be. It doesn't mean you're not going to have goofy thoughts. The enemy doesn't stop. But you plead the blood. You plead the blood. Sometimes you got to apply the blood. And apply the blood upon your mind. Apply the blood upon your spirit and your soul. Apply the blood. You know, but when that conviction comes, I mean, when that guilt and condemnation comes, you plead the blood. And then you apply it. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. And verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So when the devil starts telling you, God's left you, because you're such a bad person. Uh-oh. You made a mistake. You repented. God left. No. He says, through the blood, you've been drawn near to him. For he himself is our what? Verse 14. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, which is hatred towards the things of God. God has done that through the blood. In Ephesians 6, while we're here, and verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So if we're fighting against these powers of darkness, you better start applying the blood and pleading it. It says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we utilize the blood of Christ to do our battles, to do our protection. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Romans 5. The devils cannot come against the blood of the Lamb unless you let them. If there's a breach because of sin, then they have access. In verse 8, But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Man, you've been justified and you've been purified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then we're going to close in one scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to get ready for communion. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or reverence, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of Christ, which lives and abides forever and ever. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll close here. Is everybody okay? You got it? Use it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Now everybody read this with me, please. Be what? Sober. In other words, keep clarity. Keep focus. Don't lose sight. Be sober, be vigilant, be faithful. Because you're what? Adversary, the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Man, he's trying to get you. It's not stopped yet. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not the only one going through it. Use the blood. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, sometimes we've got to go through things to learn things. Amen. That's how God teaches us, is through his chastening, doesn't he? So I encourage you, don't discount the blood of Christ, but use it by pleading and applying, and to him be all the glory. Listen, there's another powerful thing I want you to know. When you plant a seed of righteousness, after I usually leave a service or something, I apply the blood of Jesus on all the seeds that were imparted. When we do outreaches and so forth, I usually go to the Lord and I'll say, Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on every seed that's been implanted here today. Now, every seed that's been implanted here today, I apply the blood of Jesus so it not be stolen, because the Bible says that the devil steals the seed. Amen? So you apply the blood of Jesus, he can't take it. Is everybody with me? So that it may grow and bear fruit for his glory. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word, and as the blood be applied to each and every one and all the seed that's been planted, Lord, I'm asking that the seed of your word today that has been implanted grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, that you'll quicken them to use what you've given us, the price that you paid for us, by utilizing the blood in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?